Today on Real Radio.
It's so true that it's shocking, and you and I are going to want to try to prove this wrong. What James is saying in the sixth great danger of the tongue is that it is something that is literally connected to hell itself. Literally, the hell of Satan's domain.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues in his series through the New Testament letter of James. In chapter 3, we see James spending a lot of time warning us against the misuse of the tongue. In fact, this portion of Scripture gives us different analogies of how some things so small can do so much damage when misused. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now as he continues in his presentation called Six Dangers of the Tongue.
I can turn to somebody in this church and say, you know what? I think you're a nincompoop. And that hurts somebody. And in the temporal realm, that may affect them for the rest of their life. The Bible tells us that we, as Christians even, will have to give an account to God for every idle, that is ignorant, wasteless, worthless word that we speak in the day of judgment. And we might turn to somebody and say, in whatever tone or in whatever words, and hurt them. Or we can turn and bless the Lord. We can affect by what we say, not only people here, but in a moment, eternity. And we're not to let the size of our tongue fool us. What a great power that it is. What a great purpose it was created to be. In Ephesians 2:10, the Bible says we are His creation, His workmanship. The word in the Greek is His poema. It's where we get the word poem. We're His poem, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared that we should walk in them. Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered or ordained by the Lord, and God delights in His way. It's interesting. You would think maybe God is saying of Himself that God delights in His, capital H, way. That's not what Psalm 37:23 says. Psalm 37:23 says that if a Christian is following the Lord will direct his decision-making, her decision-making. He will lay out the path before them. He'll go before them. Are you walking with God this morning? Are you fellowshipping with Christ? Then you can have full confidence that the direction that you are going in as you walk with Christ, He is going to ordain the path and delight in your life. In what we do, He wants to delight in what we say. That's exciting. Isn't that liberating? Kind of causes you to be a little bit of a reckless Christian, don't you think? Don't you want to be reckless as a Christian? We're reckless with everything else we do. Why not be reckless as a Christian? It's exciting as we follow Him. We need to be so careful, though, regarding our tongue and the damage that it can do. Psalm 8, verses 1 through 4. Listen to this. Psalm chapter 8 says, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all of the earth. Who set your glory above the heavens, and out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have ordained praise. Psalm 8 verse 3 says, when I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what are we as men that you should be mindful of us? You hear the praise that's coming out of the psalmist's mouth? Oh God, you are awesome. We should be praising Him with the little member of our mouths. The second danger that we see out of the six dangers of the tongue, the second danger is found in verse 5 as well, and that's the danger of its boasting. It boasts. It says, and it boasts great things. This is an amazing little statement. It boasts great things. And the word in Greek is neutral. It can go boasting for good, and it can go boasting for evil. Watch this. The word boast means to... This is kind of funny. It's a little word with a huge meaning. It means to tip the neck back and to cock the head up. In other words, to look upward, to tilt the neck back, cock the head up. And it means to make a radical, an unbelievable expression. To cock the head back and say something that's radical about one of two things. It only has two definitions in its direction that it can go. Of self, who we are, or of, who do you think? God. Isn't that amazing? It boasts great things. Well, what kind of great things? Either the wonderful works of God or the wonderful works of self. Oh, look at me. And it's funny how the Greek word is to cock the head, the neck back, and to tip up the head. Because don't you see people walking around town like that?
Well, yes, it's me.
And their head's in the position of boasting great things of itself. Or the Christian puts his head back and says, Lord, you are awesome. And you are great. It's interesting. It can only go one of two ways. It's like what Jesus said about money or about God. You can only serve God or you can only serve money. One of two things. The danger of its boasting. He says here concerning its boasting, he says, see how great a forest a little fire kindles. Or the NIV puts it, I think, better. He says, see how a little spark can consume an entire forest. Isn't that how fires begin in the first place, with a little spark? It seems like every year in Chino Hills we'll have a fire. We haven't had one yet this year, but one will come somehow. They always seem to come. And before it gets near the homes and before it destroys the oak trees and everything else that it does, how did it first begin? With some lunatic either trying to set it or some careless motorist or whatever the case might be. A little spark. It boasts great things. A little spark of praise and worship unto God can influence an entire body. Knowing the message, I was back near the sound booth before the teaching began, and we were all worshiping the Lord. And it's interesting. When the worship group comes up, they start, and you know, look, it's first service. By the way, we love you guys at first service. You guys are really special. Don't tell second or third or Saturday night this, but and I mean it. They get all bent out of shape, carnal people that they are. The spiritual ones are up at first service, aren't they? You've been up all night waiting for church to start. You guys just, you sing. And when I say, why don't you turn and greet each other, you guys are just, hey, how are you? And it's just, it's great. Well, when the music begins, we're singing. And then the music leads us further into the presence of the Lord, doesn't it? And then some of you, a hand goes up. Yes, Lord. And that means in Christian worship and in the scriptures as it's written, that we're making this song a prayer. The Bible says we lift our hands in prayer to Him and into worship. And so then a couple more hands go up. Have you noticed how that happens? And it's not because, his hand's up. I guess I'm going to put mine up too. No, it's just, it's a spiritual event. It's happening. And if your hands don't go up, it doesn't mean you're not worshiping. It's just, we're worshiping. And it begins to spread. Usually starts near the front, because there's less distractions, quite honestly, near the front. It begins to go to the back. You begin to be affected by the praise. Now watch this. We're singing praise unto God. He immediately responds by exposing His presence into hearts. And the worship begins to be kindled. And it starts with maybe one song or the a few words to a praise song or maybe a repeated chorus or holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. And we sing it over and over again. And then you yes, holy, holy. It starts with a spark. And then the whole body's consumed with worship. The forest is burned down to the ground with one little spark. The head cocked back, making a boast unto the Lord, can do a great thing. The head cocked back and boasting about self can destroy everyone around. See, James is teaching by contrast here. Very powerful. So the second danger, verse 5, is that it boasts. Psalm 150, verses 1 through 6. Listen to this great boast in David's own words. Praise the Lord, he says. Praise him in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts, and praise him according to his excellent greatness. That's that word, to make a great exclamation of God's greatness, to boast. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. And he gives a long list of great instruments that we're to use to praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26. And Isaiah's own words. Isaiah says, lift up your eyes on high and see who has created the heavens, who brings them out by number, the stars. Isn't that beautiful? He calls them by name. God knows the name of every star. He calls them by name. And by the greatness, that is the mighty boasting of God, by his greatness, his might, and his strength, and his power, is seen by all. Not one is missing. In Paul's own words, Paul says in Ephesians 1:17, he says in his prayer that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, might give to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding, that they might be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of our calling, that is as Christians, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward those who love him. That's pushing back the neck, tilting up the head, and making a great exclamation regarding God's wonderful, wonderful power. That's boasting in the Lord. The Bible tells us in Psalm 34, verse 2, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. See, it's okay to boast as long as you do it in the Lord. That's one of the greatest turnoffs, is for people to boast about themselves. Doesn't that just kind of just make you kind of ill? By the way, people who boast about themselves over and over again, don't despise them and don't hate them and don't, you know, neglect them. The fact of the matter is that when people boast, or they always have to be the center of the conversation or right in the middle of the group, they have to have it. You know, that, in all honesty, I'm not saying this to be mean. You know what? Love them. Actually, encourage them, not in what they're doing, but the reason why they're boasting is because they're severely insecure. They're very insecure, and they're very fearful. They may put on a whole different show, but the fact of the matter is boasting speaks of a very self-centered heart, very selfish heart. Psalm 44, verse 8, in God we boast all day long and praise his name forever. I wish I could say that. Don't you wish you could say that? I boast in the Lord all day long. I'd love to be able to say that, but my tongue can waver to and fro during the course of the day. I don't like it. In 1 Corinthians 1:31, the Bible says, let him who glories glory or boast in the Lord. The third danger we see is that it's as a fire. The tongue is like a fire. Verse 6. Number 3, the third danger found in verse 6, the tongue is like a fire. He says the tongue is a fire. It's a fire. It's combustible. It's a flame. It's something that burns. It's something that's dangerous. The tongue is as a fire. It can scorch. It can burn. It can afflict. It can kill. The fourth evil of the tongue, the fourth great danger, is that it's worldly. Look what he says here. It is a world of iniquity. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that with many words that are spoken, sin is sure to be present. Jesus gave a little quicker version of it. Jesus simply said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Why? Have you noticed this? When someone says, if you just ask somebody, were you there 8 o'clock Tuesday night? You know, attorneys in the courtroom, they watch for this. Were you there at 8 o'clock on Tuesday night? You should say yes or no. You know what happens? Yes, and the reason why, and the attorney, the courtroom, the jury, are they're listening. And with every bit of yapping that goes on, inevitably, we will indict ourselves. It's kind of sad, I think. This happens to me more often than not, and it's this. someone will come up to me and they'll say, Pastor Jack, you know, I think I better tell you something. And they go on to confess something. And so, you probably heard about it by now. And I'm sitting there like this. And they get all done, and I say, actually, I didn't hear about it at all. And they go, oh. And chances are, I probably wouldn't hear about it. But they wind up coming and indicting themselves. And out of guilt or out of concern or even out of self-defense, someone might say, well, you know, and it's not even necessary. The tongue is like a fire. It spreads into places that's not necessary. Now, in the wintertime, I love a good fireplace. Aren't they great? They just absolutely alter my, I'm a weirdo, major weirdo, because I can be in the most sleepiest mood or the worst mood or a work mood or any kind of a mood, but if there's a fire in the fireplace, I just kind of start to drool. I just mellow out, and it's like, and it just grabs me, it arrests me. You ever walk into a restaurant, there's some restaurants, the fireplaces go in there in the restaurant, and I just stand in front of it. And it's just, it's captivating. It's beautiful. I don't know what it is, the crackling sound, the look of the fire, just as it dances there in the wood, it's incredible. I love it, especially when it's cool outside. Just knowing it's cool and it's warm in here, it's just like, it feels like you're cheating. Like you're, I've got something nobody else has. Oh, this is great. Until an ember flies out of the chimney and lands in the field next door to your house and burns down the whole city. Did you know how the Great Chicago Fire was started? It killed 272 people, by the way. It burned 3 square miles of Chicago. 15,000 to 17,000 buildings were burned and over 270 people killed. By the way, from that fire, Dwight L. Moody had preached a message that morning on that Sunday morning and did not give an altar call at a crusade. And Dwight L. Moody said, I will forever give an altar call with every message I preach because of those who could have made decisions earlier that morning. Wow. It's a fire. Number 4 was the worldliness of the tongue. That's the 4th danger. The 5th danger is the poison of the tongue. It says here that the tongue is so set among the members that it defiles. That's the word poison. It can poison the entire body. And by the way, the word here used is about our body, physically, our body. Our tongue can be used that is in such a way that it results in our bodies being destroyed or greatly poisoned because of the use of our tongue. Physical sickness or physical harm. You can say something to somebody and they can punch you out. So put that tongue back in the mouth and your cheeks and your eyes and your nose and your teeth will be very happy that you kept it there. It can damage the whole body, poisonous. But I find it interesting because the word here of ownership, it's my tongue. It's my tongue that defiles my life as well. I just don't open my mouth and it is limited to just me only. It can defile myself and others. And so here, the 6th and final danger is in verse 6 of the dangers of the tongue. It says that it sets on fire the course of nature and sets on fire, is set on fire by hell. That's the 6th and final thing, is it's the danger of its origin. Literally, people, in fact, I'm going to ask you not to believe what I'm going to tell you, because it's so true that it's shocking, and you and I are going to want to try to prove this wrong. What James is saying in the 6th great danger of the tongue is that it is something that is literally connected to hell itself. Literally, the hell of Satan's domain. Our tongue can be immediately influenced. Though we're a saved, born-again Christian going to heaven, our tongue can be immediately influenced by literally hell itself, its very power. That is shocking, and that's exactly what James is saying. Very, very quickly, verses 7 through 12 now, and this is just his illustrations and his warnings. He says, every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. That is amazing truth. You ever been to SeaWorld? That little girl walks out there with her little wetsuit on, and she goes, and Shamu, all 20 tons of her, comes up and jumps over the rope. That girl says something, blows a whistle, waves her hand in the air, you know, and Shamu goes up and squirts us all with water. This massive thing. How does that happen? Can you imagine walking into your house, or you walk into the company? People look at you. What's your problem? That girl can be at SeaWorld, snap her fingers, and that great behemoth jumps out of the water, and she can go home to her 13-year-old, because I have one. And you go, and they go, what? No respect. Why? Because the human tongue cannot be controlled. We cannot control it. We can control animals. We can train elephants. We can train whales. I've seen a trained insect. How do you train an insect? You can't give him a biscuit. When he jumps over the thimble, you can't give him a treat. But I've seen them. How do you train an insect to obey? I don't understand it, but it happens. But the tongue, who can train the thing? The Bible, James, God is saying, you can't train the tongue. It's impossible for us to try. Well, I'm just not going to. This message really inspired me to keep my mouth shut because I'm quite the gossip. So I'm going to really stop gossiping. You can't do it without a heart change by God. It's impossible. He's going to tell us this. Can't do it. Why? Verse 8 says, no man can tame it. It's an unruly evil. It's full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the image of God, similitude, likeness. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. My brethren, Christians, this can't be. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter at the same time? Impossible. Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives? It's impossible. Can a grapevine produce figs? No. Thus, no spring can yield both fresh water and salt water at the same time. It's impossible. Six great dangers of the tongue. We need to watch out for its danger. We need to see how it's controlled, and that is by the power of God himself. God has got to have access to our tongue. And then he shows us, by these great contrast, a fig tree can't produce grapes. Neither can a foul mouth bring praise to God. We need our hearts changed so that out of the abundance of the heart, our mouth might praise the Lord and bless our neighbors.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, here on Real Radio, in a presentation called Six Dangers of the Tongue. It's a look at the book of James, chapter 3, verses 5 through 12, and it's part of Pastor Jack's series through this New Testament letter written by the brother of our Lord. Now, we'll continue this verse-by-verse series on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Well, the date is sneaking up on us for the event that we've been telling you about, and here's Pastor Jack to tell us more.
Well, we're just about 2 weeks away from this year's Southern California Prophecy Conference. We've got a great lineup of speakers. Miles McPherson will be joining us from the Rock Church in San Diego. Dr. Mark Hitchcock, who's probably one of America's most sought-after Bible Prophecy Conference teachers today. And our good friend Charlie Campbell. Charlie Campbell's got a great gift, a great ability to argue for the truth of God's Word. And one of my all-time favorites, a dear man of God, a great fixture at Liberty University, Dr. Ed Heinsohn, whose ministry is heard and seen around the world on a daily basis. And General Jerry Boykin, one of the founding members of the U.S. Army Elite Delta Force, will be speaking to us with a challenging message. And I'll be speaking a few times as well. For more information, you can go to our website, SoCalProphecyConference.com. That's SoCalProphecyConference.com to get all the details.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.